special administration committee meeting of Tuesday, November 20th, 2018, to order. Any citizens' comments? Okay, don't all jump up. We're good. Minutes for correction slash approval from October 17th, 2018. Comments, questions?
What happened?
She's quick, okay? She's in a hurry.
Usually I've been here a few minutes early.
31 seconds late.
I know. I looked up my computer. It was 6 o'clock. What's going on here?
I told him, whoever talks too much, snap at you.
Oh,
so that's me.
That's him.
Do we have a hard deadline to get out of here? No. Oh, okay.
Just teasing. Right. I'm just teasing. So any comments, questions on the minutes? We're good. We'll take those as presented. New business 1, admin 2018-90, the monthly budget report for October 2018.
Looking at the sales tax numbers in there, the 272 that's in the last column was $13,000 for the month ahead of projections, so much better than we expected. The column that's not on the page for next month was somewhere in the 250s, which was another $13,000 or $14,000 more than we expected for the month. So we had two good months in a row. We're on pace right now if trends keep to be above our budget projection, hopefully by $30,000 or so. But as we saw last year, that can always change. So we'll see what happens there. So year to year, so based on the August consumer sales in 2017 and the August 2018 consumer sales, we increased from month to month, I think it was 4.1%. So that was good. So additionally, you're not going to see it in the budget report, but I wanted to make everybody aware. IML had released their most recent estimates of income tax, use tax, and motor fuel tax in their most recent monthly review. They're projecting for next year that all of them are going to go up from even what they had projected last year. So they had projected some modest growth on some of them, and they're seeing figures year-to-date that are even beating those expectations. So on income tax, there's a variety of factors, and they're a little bit less aggressive on it. But with use tax, that's the internet sales tax grouping, they're seeing a strength in it overall. And then they're starting to tighten up their estimates on how much the online sales tax change is going to impact the distributions to municipalities. And so they're estimating that it will be about a 5 or 6% increase year over year. So they have not included that within their estimates just quite yet, but that's good news because they're projecting growth, and then they're saying that there's even potential for more growth beyond that. So they seem to be pretty enthusiastic about that as a revenue source. So, you know, all those little things that add up between those three revenue sources, you know, hopefully it'll be another $100,000 or $200,000 in the budget proposal for next year just from those things.
Now, do they ever see sales tax declining? Where the scales will tip?
They have not projected that yet. They don't necessarily get into local-based sales tax.
I was just saying, do we see that happening?
No. Even with store closures being announced, one in particular, obviously. I've said in the past, it's a relatively modest dollar amount in the grand scheme of things. It's no FU Eaton Pro Build, which when it closed 10 years ago now was a third of our entire sales tax, which is a problem. So growth would be expected to more than offset that for the future. The fact that we're building so many houses and people are still moving here, you're going to have a natural increase as a result of that. So.
Any indicator that the state is going to continue to just let us have our sales tax with the increase, or
there hasn't been any discussions with the budget quite yet. I would say that in general, even though the Democrats will have a supermajority in both houses, it seems like more of their proposals have leaned towards giving the municipalities more money, or at least a cut of whatever percentage is, rather than taking it away. So we'll see if that is true or not. But
for 5 grand, you can talk to Lou Lang. You can get a bridge. It's only $5,000. Only.
Yes.
That kind of money, he'll listen.
Yep. For the rest of the departments are all generally in line. We're halfway through the fiscal year, at least from a cash basis perspective. So if anybody has any questions about individual line items, happy to take them.
Questions?
No.
Concerns? We're good. Okay, let's move on. Admin 2018-91, monthly treasurer's report for October 2018.
Beginning fund balance of $11,544,948. Year-to-date revenues of $19,267,475. Year-to-date expenses of $13,685,348. For a projected ending fund balance of $17,127,075.
Comments or questions on that? Okay. That goes on consent, right?
Are we okay with putting that on next week's agenda?
Sure.
Okay. If that's okay.
Three, admin 2018-92, the cash statement for September 2018.
Just an informational item, as always. Our cash balances are on the first page, and our investment balances are on the second page.
Comments or questions on this? We're good. Four, admin 2018-93, bills for payment. Comments, questions on the bill list? Okay, we're good on that. Five, admin 2018-94, the monthly website report for October 2018.
Yeah, it's in your packet. Erin isn't here tonight. She had some family appointments to take care of. Of note, the top five downloads and then some of the searches and pages visited. You know, we tried to create project specific pages for land use applications, and we found those to be very successful as far as gaining views. We managed to link them on social media. That way people have like a one-stop shop with memo updates and packet materials and stuff. And we can say, just go here. This is everything. You don't have to FOIA us for it. So that showed up a little bit with the solar farm application, the GRNE site, which is going to be in front of you in the next couple weeks.
Any comments or questions on this? All right. Six, admin 2018-95, the purchasing decisions.
Okay, there's an email from Chris in the packet, which kind of outlays it. Carrie is here. She's our joint purchasing manager with Oswego. She will be able to talk about what they do in Oswego, the policies that they have, how that differs from us. And then there's kind of a general outline of maybe like a methodology or a thought process through decision making for purchases. So the example suggested was for oil changes, and we'll have a little bit more of that in detail at probably next month's meeting. But what she's done, just to give you an example, she's actually querying vendors within the region for all automotive repairs. First for police cars, but then we'll expand that elsewhere. And so the hope would be that we would get a nice little matrix of oil changes, you know, shocks, tires, etc., that we would be then able to either pare that down to make some decisions and then use the data that we've received to talk about, you know, things in the larger capacity. So I won't steal too much of your thunder, but maybe you want to walk us through Oswego's decisions, where we're at with our purchasing, right, and kind of what you're doing.
Thank you. For Oswego, they are home rule. We are not home rule. So that is the biggest decision-making difference versus both of them. Being home rule, you can kind of set up for the local preference. You can do the 5% and so forth and so on. For non-home rule, we are limited to state statute. And unfortunately, local preference is not in part of the state regulations. However, with our purchasing decisions, we can incorporate into the policies to look closer at vendors, to go to local vendors, see if they are able to bid, if they are able to meet or beat any pricing that we do get with our quotes, formal or informal bidding. So we are currently, as Bart said, that we are currently under revisions, a very draft purchasing manual that will include step-by-step procedures on what to do moving forward when we're looking at procurement. And that would be either informal from 1,000 to $24.99 up to even over $25,000 when it comes to you guys.
So you touched on it, but I want to make it clear because I think it got brought up like 10 or 12 years ago on Oswego's specific policy. It's 5% for local in-town vendors on formal bids. So if something, you know, if they're doing a giant construction project and it's 3% away, like they have this policy that says they're going to go with the local person. So we're not allowed under Illinois Municipal Code right now to do that. It's something we could look at in the future. And so when we talked about that last time, we said, well, that's not an option for us. But we set up a business registration where we sent out letters to all the businesses like 10 or 15 years ago and said, who are you? What do you do? Like, we want to basically build this database of what you sell. That way we can solicit you when things come up so that, you know, theoretically we're giving in-town people as many opportunities as we can to bid on things. It didn't work very well 10 or 12 years ago. I think we might have had 24 businesses that had responded, and I can think of what year we did it.
Yeah.
It was right after Val was elected the first, 07.
So when things started.
Not a great time.
Right, that's what I was wondering.
Okay.
Definitely. We had asked for, we had solicited for responses a couple times after that and never got any traction on it. And one of the reasons was, I mean, we weren't buying very many things in the price range that we had set it up at. I think it was like a $1,000 to like $19,000 price range. We said that we would go out and solicit for people. And so, I mean, even now, I mean, there's only, you know, a few dozen times that happens each year, and not every time is something that's like, hey, we want this part number, and we want it to look like this, and, you know, that we're soliciting. So it has some limits on practical application unless you kind of force everybody to do it, like through a business license, and then you say, you know, we're going to charge you $5 because we need to know who you are, you know, as far as, like, police response. But as a side benefit, we also want to know what you provide and what you sell. That way we can, you know, build you into our purchasing database. So, anyway,
that's okay. Thank you. My future goal is to build a vendor database that is even local and in the surrounding communities. That way then we do have a vast array of companies that can bid on either informal or formal bidding. That way we can get a lot of options. As for the auto repair, I did send out 30 letters, packets. I did bring the examples that I did send out. I've gotten 2. So I did underestimate the mailing service, so I'm sure some will trickle through today and probably even early next week. But they did go out early last, first thing Tuesday. So I would anticipate a few of them would contact me, but I've only gotten 2 back.
You have a sample you can pass around just so everybody can kind of see.
And then with the information that is on, I think, page 3, is the listing of all of the pricing that I did request. I will put it in. There's also a questionnaire in there for them to fill out as well. So I will then take that information and extrapolate it into a spreadsheet so it's nice and pretty, and we can do a nice comparison. And then we can determine what is the best option for us to move forward with.
Who came back? Can you tell us what
who has answers?
Yep. So far, smaller.
I have Auto Specialists, which is on Wolf Street in Yorkville, and Crow's Auto Repair in Plano.
Okay.
And those are the only 2 that I've heard back from so far.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Probably higher than the other.
We'll see. And, you know, the thought is that depending on what it is, it may be more advantageous to do vendor consolidation, which we've talked about as part of office supplies and other things, and say, you know, we're going to negotiate a contract with you to get a lesser rate, or it might be we're just going to do more of a scattered approach. We know the prices now, at least. We know maybe that somebody's better at certain jobs, so we're going to send a car out to do transmission or whatever at this guy and tires at this guy. But we'll leave that up to Carrie since she's doing it for both towns. So, and so the last paragraph of your email, Chris, talks about, like, factoring in the soft costs of the purchasing decision. And so she's already done that on a couple other more minor jobs. And so once we get all this information back, it would be a component of what she's
done. We'll see that.
Yeah.
Once we start seeing the data come back in, we'll see the full discussion or be able to have the full discussion of that aspect once we get to that point.
We've done it for Public Works employees to run out to look at different vendors, you know, what the average cost of wages is, you know, what the availability is, whether there's like, you know, a secondary level purchasing decision that can be made that can eliminate, you know, having to drive from somewhere else. So,
trying to make
that decision. Is it worth it driving an extra, you know, 30, 40 miles to do something, take somebody out of rotation, do that as compared to spending a few dollars more? And it's nice to know that, you know, Carrie, you had started the cycle about the same time that I had sent this email off to Park. So,
this issue. So the police had actually started to do some of the work at the beginning of October. So they were querying people. It was a little less formal. Handwritten notes, those type of things, trying to call around. So Rich and I had asked Carrie to just take this, formalize it, put it in a spreadsheet. That way everybody can see, you know, where the different vendors are with prices, and then leave more of a high-level discussion as to, like, you know, here's one example, but here's, the, you know, the process that she's using when we're looking at purchasing.
Yeah.
I got it. Newer.
And something to throw out here for this discussion is once this moves further along, it would be nice to see that once we have the policy, if we had some standardization of purchase of RFPs through all departments. Consistency. Because one thing I know when we see them from each of the departments, everyone does it their own way. But it would be nice to see some consistency in a base format. Content, obviously, is going to be significantly different. But the format would be nice to be outlined the same. So that when you're looking at them, you kind of have an idea of what to expect within the project.
Yep.
Okay. So this will just come back to us when we get some more data. We're good with that?
Good.
All right. 7, Admin 2018-96, Fiscal Year 2019 Park and Recreation Fund Budget Amendment.
This is just a budget amendment to incorporate the Yorkville Youth Baseball and Softball. Used to be run by the YYBSA. The city will be taking it over for youth baseball and softball. Just incorporating the projected revenues, which we have at $135,000, along with the projected expenditures for increases in staff, personnel-related, and as well as some supply line items as well. So right now we have it essentially break-even, but eventually we do expect the program to be revenue positive. Tim, if you want to add anything or if you have any...
No, I just think it's a pretty exciting opportunity for the city and us to take this on. You know, we built a good relationship with YYBSA to be able to transition this to us, and it's what we do, and they focus more on travel ball now. That's really kind of a big part of what they're looking to do. And this allows us to expand what we already do with basketball and soccer.
Comments, questions on this?
Is the numbers in the packet, or the memo, are those reflective of one fiscal year or just the budget amendment year?
This is just for this fiscal year. It's not for an entire...
So when we're looking at this initial, it's, you know, projected increase of $150,000 to $200,000.
That would be a whole
fiscal year.
Or calendar.
But then when we get into the expenditures and the other fees, that's the balance of our current budget. Okay.
What page are you on, by the way?
I'm on the memo, the first page of the memo.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm just, what I want to wrap my arms around is, what are we looking at in an actual fiscal year? Because if this is saying for an entire year, it's $150,000 of revenues, but then we're talking about our expenditures of $132,000 for a partial year, for a half a year? Is that what we're saying?
Well, yes and no.
Is this through our calendar budget?
This will be just through the end of April. It's the $135,132. That's a big chunk of your expenses because spring, you're taking registration in January. There's two things to baseball. So you have a spring, summer, and then a fall session. Your spring, summer session is 75% of your expenses and revenue. Fall is going to be tremendously less. So you're going to get a huge chunk of revenue in January.
And that falls in one budget.
And then a huge chunk of your expenses are going to come out of this in like March when we have to start buying uniforms and things of that nature. Over a whole calendar year, I'm trying to be as conservative as possible as we make this transition.
I appreciate that.
Because, you know, I don't expect there to be a drop in registration, but there could be. Mm-hmm. Just of people either, you know, just a little confused on how to sign up or anything like that. I mean,
kids
do. So I do envision that the first year or two, this would be a break even. And then once we kind of get our hands around a little bit better, it will be a net positive for the city. And this doesn't include where we expect a tremendous increase in concession sales. We don't include sponsorships in here right now. Like, we were trying to just limit it to just the actual revenue expenses of someone signing up and not the outside things that we don't know yet until we get into it.
So first question, why YBSA? Why do they not want to do this anymore?
I think it's a combination of things. I think just like as we've seen with other special events in the city that didn't become a city event, like 4th of July, is that a lot of people have done it for a long time and you don't have new people coming up. I think a few years ago when we had to drop down in size of our parks department and we're not able to do field maintenance anymore, mm-hmm. that went to the baseball organizations. I think that became not just overwhelming for them to keep up with, but when they sent out an RFP to actually get someone to come do it, it was like they would have lost thousands of dollars. And so that's how this negotiating got started. They were willing to come to us and say, well, how much would it for you just to hire somebody? We could pay you. And I said, my issue with you guys paying us, you could walk away at any point. We still have an employee. Like, I need a constant revenue stream coming in. And just travel ball growing so much and that becoming a focus of, I think, their organization. They looked at, like, here's a great opportunity with the relationship we built with them. We know it's going to continue in the tradition that they've started. And we could focus on this and they can do that.
What level of youth is this focused for that we would take over?
It's going to be from T-ball, which is, you know, 5-6, to potentially high school.
But it is just in-house. It is
yes,
no
I have
travel.
No interest in travel.
Just okay.
I don't think that's the mission of our department. I don't think that's what the city should get involved with. Mm-hmm. That becomes a whole different ballgame when you're telling kids how much time they get there. They may not play at all and things mm-hmm. of that nature. And then you got to schedule trips to Louisville and all that. I think it becomes way bigger than what we want to handle.
And do we manage any of the maintenance on the fields right now?
Yes and no. So we do all bridge, cannonball, things where we have some of our programs like adult softball, where we're doing our baseball tournaments at. We do manage those fields.
Okay.
We do obviously mow, get trash, things of that nature. We haven't really done when it comes to Beecher or any of the fields. We've kind of left it up to the organizations the last few years.
Because when I'm looking at this in terms of the number three on the expenditures, uniforms, I understand, because that's part of just the group. Baseball equipment, umpire fee, I'm sorry, number three. It was
two number threes.
Yeah, two number threes, I'm sorry. the actual number three. Ball field rehab, turf materials, backstop maintenance, chalk, new bases, storage unicorns, fence repairs. Wouldn't we be maintaining that? I would think that the organization that's taking care, providing the teams is actually doing the field itself.
It has not been done to the level that it needs to be done.
Would that be just on our part, though? That should be in our standard budget as it is now?
But
in terms of ultimate maintenance?
So, I mean, we need to go in and rehab. Beecher needs a lot of tender living care.
But what I want to get at is, that part of our maintenance that we should have in a regular budget, or is it part of this amended budget?
It'll be a part of this amended budget for this fiscal year, and then carrying on, it will now be a part of our regular budget. It has not been part of the regular budget in the past, and that's when losing staff, as well as just the budget changes we made. We had put that on the groups to maintain the fields to the level that they wanted to.
So your question is more so like, are we doing this because we're getting these teams in?
Yes.
Right. As opposed to something that we should
have
been doing.
Shouldn't this have been something that we were maintaining? Because I would see that the organization being responsible for the field itself, mm-hmm. the actual clay and the baselines, the bases, the backstops, the
some of it storage. Maybe you could consider as like deferred maintenance that we're going to catch up on. And you know, I would look at it and say the reason that we haven't done some of that deferred maintenance is simply because there wasn't a revenue stream for us to be able to do that. So now with like a controllable program with a revenue source, we can justify saying, you know, we're going to do some catch up and then some modest upgrades to the field so that they're actually, you know, relatively nice.
Because what I don't want to do is I don't want to expand the budget just for the fact of, oh, we have an additional revenue, so let's spend it. I mean, this, to me, those sound like general maintenance that we should be working into our standard budget. You know, you understand what I'm saying with this issue? And maybe it is something that, yes, we deferred it just because we didn't have it. But
yeah,
sounds like some of these items should have been in there. And then...
But we also didn't have 800 kids playing baseball. They did.
They did. But
we
own it. I mean, I assume we're responsible for all the lighting at Bridge. We're maintaining that. We're maintaining the concessions. We're maintaining probably all those backstops, the fences, the nets, the cages, right?
Do we carry the insurance on it, too?
Brawl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to do that.
Yes.
Well, so as part of the agreement, they had to post.
They had to provide insurance for their
use of it. Sure.
Things of that nature.
Yeah, they had their own insurance policy, but we had ours.
But I mean, like for instance, one of the fences out here blew over a month or so ago. I mean, that was on our insurance. It wasn't on my BSA's insurance. We'll have to fix that.
So is that going to be an additional cost then to the city because we're going to have to change our insurance if a kid gets hurt out there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so because we're already doing it for baseball tournaments.
Okay. We're probably already covered on
that. We're already covered on that, so no.
Probably is actually a savings overall if you look at the total in terms of fees because the organization was having to cover their cost of the insurance.
They were almost doubling
in their
insurance.
Fees.
Sure.
So that might actually be a slight savings on the city side if we factor that in, maybe.
No, you would see though that since we're catching up these fields. That it would kind of be a hard hit the first year and then...
Yeah, I mean, some of these expenses are going to be now, as we put in this fiscal year now, fixing some backstops up, things of that nature that, you know, you would now maintain on a regular basis where you won't have such a big expense down the road. But that goes with everything we do, Chris. I mean, you brought up weeds in the parks. I mean, some of this stuff is just budget decisions that we have to make on what is a
I just don't
want to
see this being you know, like a capital expense that we need to deal with one time. And then this, you know, the number of 60,000 is built into the budget from there out for...
Yeah, and some of that is expenses they've done where they would buy...
Sure.
They would buy clay that we're going to buy
light
now.
Light bulb. Yeah, okay.
Light bulb just went out for you?
Yes. Yeah, no, we would amend that back down depending on whatever. It doesn't need to be done. So he's concerned that it'll be $60,000 going forward every year.
Right. That is
repair maintenance is going to go, we're going to have
it go up because now you're
going to have to readjust.
Yeah. So
what the budget looks like this now, before this is amended, it's going to have to look different.
Yeah, whatever these fields are this year for the $60,000, maybe next year it's not quite as much.
It might be like $40,000. Yeah. But some expenses, YWBSA was paying for, like, clay every year. They may buy the clay and we can help them to put the new clay down. Well, that's going to be an expense on ours because it's us running the program now. And, you know, chalk they bought. I mean, those are things now that we're going to have to buy. Bases, they will.
So if they were doing their, you know, maintenance, the person that you're was the one person you're looking for?
Two.
Right now, we're looking. We definitely need to hire a new full-time park maintenance whose only job is going to be maintaining fields.
Oh, okay, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, that we didn't have. You know, by taking this on, it allows us to pay for that individual. Where we don't need additional revenue from the general fund, from the city general fund, we can pay for this out of the program, which will also allow another snow plowing person on the streets, help out with other issues throughout the city because there'll be a park maintenance employee. But their main job that we just can't do right now if we don't have them is from March 1st through October. They're going to be prepping and maintaining then, fields.
And then the YYBSA used to get sponsors to help buy the kids uniforms. We're looking to do the same thing.
Yeah, and we do that with basketball already now. Okay. We'll be doing the same thing. So we didn't include it in the budget because we have, this being new, we haven't started the sponsorship process, so we don't even know how much we would gather from that. So that'll be additional revenue that's not really in our projections.
You know what they got last year for sponsorship?
I don't know off the top of my head.
But would that happen for this season? Okay,
yes.
It would. It's just we're not building. Okay.
Yes.
And are they sharing that information with you?
And one of their executive board members, she would be the part-time person we're looking to hire to help transition this first year or two. is to come on board and assist us with all the details. We have a pretty good idea what it takes to win a league, but she would come on over and help us out with that. And then there's also, we're looking at putting like a 5-person volunteer advisory board together of YYBSA, either parents or members of the board, that would be with us for a year or two just to kind of transition this to make this as smoothly as possible. So, I mean, we're definitely, this is us coming together to try and provide a better service to the residents of Yorkville.
And then, so for the staffing, the part-time person for this year is $10,000, but we're expecting that to be a $30,000-$40,000 total?
No, probably, I mean, I just put in $10,000 right now just to be safe because we're looking for that person to start, if this gets approved next Tuesday, to start as soon as possible.
Because it says $10,000,
I would think
30 to 40.
Probably more like $15,000. Like, a lot of your expenses, because once the season starts in April, once you get past the first couple of weeks, like in any program, it starts to kind of run itself, and your intensity on the staff level kind of dwindles until you get to the end when you're handing out trophies and stuff. So we're looking at that person being more like $15,000 to $20,000 in an actual fiscal year. Now, if
what's
we would
the $30,000 to $40,000 that's listed?
That's the budget amount. I'm sorry, that was inquiry.
That's
was it 30,
from what
no,
we already have,
to 40.
To oh, add the 10,000 to go
that
up.
That is our increase. Okay,
yes,
so we're going to
increase.
Thank you for that. That's what I wanted to get at.
Yes,
that
that's just an increase from already what's been approved to
okay.
what would be approved.
Because I've seen that in a couple of the others, and it was actually noted. First page, actually, there was one note on that one. And then with the full-time, we're increasing full-time staff of $12,000.
Just for this fiscal year?
For this fiscal year, and then it'll be a full-time person at whatever that salary is, plus all the benefits as
correct.
Listed.
And that varies on what benefits they take and things of that nature.
Right, and their level, what they come in.
Correct.
At. Okay. All right.
I talked to today a member of the park board, because it's a big change, and I don't know. She said they were a little freaked out at first, but even Ken was at the meeting, and they think it's a good thing, and they're all excited. So that helped me make a better decision, I think. I mean, it's a big program.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a monster program. It's a tremendous opportunity for the city.
Right.
It's a tremendous opportunity for
the
city.
Do we have any programs now that are anywhere to this size at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, basketball's over 500 kids.
Okay.
So the spring baseball, softball is going to be similar to what we do with basketball right now.
Okay.
And
so
its totality, this is going to be much bigger because, I mean, I do envision this growing.
Right.
I mean, I do see this going over 1,000
but at least it's not something that we're normally running 100 kids in a program and
no.
now we're going to so
no.
it's,
I mean basketball we're at 500
so
semi kids right now so
okay
I mean, this
so we're
is
in that
very similar
range anyways
yes
do you know how much they made in their auctions their auctions are huge I mean they make a lot of money on that so I mean is that something we would do
I didn't get the budget I don't know if we would do one of that
okay
I know one of the things that they had
that's their big money maker
yeah,
for the year.
Is that they had I mean, they had a lot of fees, whereas, like, you had a fee that you signed up and just saying it was $100, and then you could either pay $50 if you didn't volunteer or coach.
Right, yeah.
So we probably will just charge $130 and not have all those different levels in there.
Yeah, if you volunteer, then it...
Yeah, but we would probably just keep it as one fee
yeah.
And things of that nature.
Was your kid involved?
Not this, maybe going forward. Last year I didn't have anybody, but I had it the year before, so we'd go to a lot of the events.
Okay.
I know people on the board.
Well, what is your thoughts then? This isn't going to affect any of my kids.
Right.
So I don't know from being a baseball parent, would you be excited about this or no?
How would you know? You don't know what's going to change.
Okay.
So if you change the volunteer side, that could change somebody's dollar amount. So if somebody's paying $50 and they're volunteering their time, because maybe they have multiple kids, kind of like... the youth tackle football. They do the same thing. They call
yeah.
it Gibbs, right? So it's the same as that. So I guess if you're a parent and you're used to spending 50 because you donate your time, but then now all of a sudden it's 130.
That's a big difference.
That's
and
a big difference.
I think the volunteerism is big because that keeps the parents attached to it. And part of it is, if I'm going to be there, why not volunteer?
Right.
If it can help me.
It was very few that actually did not pay the fee.
Yeah. That's the thing that we don't know.
There was a lot more to just.
Right. If we had those kind of
statistics.
Just
being a coach to not waive the fees. That was already.
I mean,
well, what was considered. What were they doing to waive the fees?
guys? Like,
they were a coach.
So
they
would
were
be a coach. Yeah.
There was
help
out with these fundraisers that they had. It was behind the scenes helping out with scheduling.
Just,
there was a lot of things.
I mean, it's been a long time.
It was maintenance of the field. It was keeping scores.
So
I mean, there was a lot to
okay.
it. And things of that nature that I know when we discussed this, they said very few people, almost everyone paid $50 fee just because they couldn't commit the time
right.
to doing this.
They sold like the auction tickets too, so
right.
I'm making up a number, it's been a couple of years, but let's say it's $100, but you could get $50 back if you sold all your auction tickets or whatever.
Right.
So you had to do something like that or do the volunteer
right.
work. So that's just some of the unclear parts that. Yeah. You don't know, like,
or
how many people did.
But some of that we're not going to do.
Right.
That's
yeah.
just not our forte.
And
I mean, we're going to focus more on, hopefully, you would not know any difference if you signed up and just showed up to practice the games.
Right.
You're not going to know that difference at all.
Well, hopefully,
yeah,
with
nice.
That, the committee, the five that you put together, maybe if there's a drive that they want to do something of that sort, they can help facilitate
sure.
that.
They can do that.
Because if we're going to have, you know, a full-time and a part-time person that is dedicated to this maintenance and actually facilitating it, you know, if, how much of a burden is going to be in terms of registration, facilitating all of the paperwork, the system. I know we upgraded our the actual computer system down at Parks and Rec. We upgraded the software, all the computers.
Yep.
Are we going to be able to handle everything that's coming in?
Yep.
Will we have any issues with that?
No, I mean, it's no different than what
like
we're doing
said,
right now with basketball,
basketball,
soccer.
Which is good.
Yeah,
we're just
so,
going to have an influx at one or two times a year.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to have, I mean, it's just, it's no different than having an influx of adding your Oktoberfest or
mm-hmm.
adding Flags of Valor or things of that nature. I mean, you're just, that's what we're trying to do. So, I mean, the big chunk of that our staff's going to continue to do it. Making the change that we made at City Hall recently where we're sharing the front desk person, that even freed up an individual to assist us with these other programs.
Okay.
And that's what we were preparing for, was is that we're going to grow, that we would need another rec coordinator to assist with behind-the-scenes stuff. And online registration, I mean, that's going to be a big push, and that's really starting to grow. I mean, we're getting up over 30% of people just signing up online. And
I would like us to
more
shift
more
that up to 70-80%.
Yeah,
that
and
would
that's
be
eventually what we want to
open
do.
Open up your thumb.
Yeah, if you're only getting 3 out of every 10 that are doing it electronically, push it the other way and get them
sure.
signed up online. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
huge.
That's pretty much, yeah, be curious to see how much their sign up on their website is probably
well, it's all,
that.
It was 100%.
Yeah.
There was
yeah.
no other option.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
So
well,
that was the only different thing.
Somehow force it that way.
Yes.
Yeah,
right. Well, I mean, you know, make it where it's beneficial to it, you know, I mean.
So they had 100%.
Well, they just didn't give you an option.
Well, why can't we do that?
Yeah.
You can. It's just if somebody walks in at City Hall or comes to our building, I'm not going to. They just
no,
didn't have
I
a physical
that,
location.
But
I mean, we still.
But
I mean,
for returning people that have been in it, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you still, you know, in our field, you still like to have that.
Yeah.
Some parents like to have that. Someone to talk to, come look at a shirt size, have questions about the league.
I still like
things of that nature that I still want to
I
keep.
I get that, but I'm just
right.
saying if they were doing it, why should we
maybe
well,
offer a discount?
We're hopefully not
because
yeah.
that,
they're
only signing up for
either.
That. Like, you might get someone that comes in to pay for preschool.
No,
and sign
I get
for baseball,
that. But,
has
but
a question about other things.
You,
like,
have that you have that mentality, maybe the people who are returning.
Yeah. The conversation is probably better focused at a high level as to whether we should be taking in-person registration or over-the-phone registration at all for any of the programs. There are some park districts that have really pushed it towards
online, yeah, it's all online
and have reduced, you know, their staffing impact. And so I know Tim and I have had that conversation a few times.
Would it be worth
too,
knocking a couple bucks off?
Yeah, if you knock a couple bucks off, because, I mean, if it frees up more staff time for yourself.
Yeah, I would rather.
So you have an existing infrastructure in place, though, that allows for phone calls and in-person walk-ins.
Right.
So to change that up and only do online might actually might actually make it a little bit more expensive, because you got to learn things, you have to train the staff. You
it's,
know,
if
yeah.
you're somebody who doesn't have it, you're still going to, we have to give you a password. Like,
yeah.
you kind of need to let this grow a little bit. We've only
right.
done it for a couple of years. Like, if you get online on a Saturday, you've never registered before, you're going to be sending an email that a staff person is going to have to get back to you on Monday anyway. It's just a matter of going through the process here. So, because we want
can
to
we simplify that process?
Yeah, but you guys are on the
I'm sorry, I just
it's well, security too,
right?
Yeah,
with people's credit cards and things of that nature.
Well, you also have an entire enterprise resource system with your registration that ties into this specifically.
Right.
So you get receipts via email, you can log in and check, like, you know, all those things. Schedules.
But we're also not private.
The impact on online or walking in is very minimal. Like, that's not going to be a problem.
I don't... Yeah, versus the... You're excluding me because I can't get to the library on Sunday and I don't have the internet. I mean, do you want that phone call? Because you can get it if you push that
way.
Well,
I'm not saying 100%.
Right.
More than 30%.
Just more efficiency. Nice.
But I'm guessing just because they already had 100%, you're going to see that in the 50s at least. Because they're already using it.
Yeah, I would imagine. My question is, not with the limited information we have, if we're not going to continue their traditions with, like, the dibs, or for lack of better terms, and the fundraising and the sponsorships, or maybe the sponsorships like you for basketball, how much of that money are we going to be absorbing? And I guess that's one of the unknowns we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because it sounds good, but then how much are we going to absorb and have to...
Yeah, it sounds like, and I'm not involved with the organization, but it sounds like they did an awful lot community-wide. I know
all
the different things I get in the mail and from people around the city of, you know, hey, we're doing an event.
Come
out. There was an awful lot of that. And I don't want to lose that engagement with the community side of it. I mean, this is a good opportunity is what it sounds like.
Right.
But if we're...
I mean, some of it is just going to be point blank. You know, we're going to have to make choices either as a city or department. Do you want to do this fundraiser and get rid of this special event? Like, it just becomes...
Sure.
We only have four or five staff members.
Well, they can always set up
just
like a friend to the park.
Right.
Or the library. They could be friends of the baseball people.
I think a lot of that they did is I don't know where all their funds went to. Like, I mean, like, you had travel ball in there. Some of that stuff went to help pay for kids go to their different trips and things of that nature that we're just not going to have.
Right, and so that's where it'd be nice to know, okay, budget breakdown.
Yeah.
How much of it was going to the actual travel component and how much was going to the actual in-house league? That would be nice.
Because then we'd know what to absorb and how to shift around to different budgets.
Because with those kind of events and activities,
I bet you'd find a lot more going to the travel part than you think.
Yeah, I think realistically, I mean, you're probably looking at like $175,000 is going to be like actual revenue throughout a fiscal year. And the first year, you're probably looking at a break even right out of the gate. And then that, our expenses will kind of stay the same and our revenue will grow as we get into this more.
I mean, I'm okay with that, especially if we're going to pick up a person that could snowplow them. So it's actually still a candidate.
That's an expense they didn't have. If you took out the full-time employee we're hiring, now you're looking at an $80,000 profit.
Right,
I mean, we're doing this is because it allows us to also bring in a new employee that, yes, will maintain fields and provide a better service, not just to people that are in the program, but residents that just go use the fields.
Can I be a police officer?
They can drive fields.
Park police?
Yes.
Right. I haven't heard that proposal in 15 or 20 years.
And then we'll also get an idea because we'll be able to consolidate the fields better where we'll focus everything at Beecher and Bridge 7 days a week.
That'll be nice.
That will help increase concession sales out there. And then also, there's a lot of kids that now we'll be able to send out emails, blast things to say, hey, this program's coming up, Breakfast with Santa, things of that nature, where hopefully we'll see, people sign up for the programs and increase revenue in those ways, too.
So, at the end of our first year, can we memorialize this proposal with what the actual end of year is for the first year and truly analyze it and see, you know, is it break-even? Is it profitable? I mean, this is not something we're going to abandon after the first year if it doesn't work.
Right.
We're going to keep it going. So,
but
I'd like to really dive in and make sure, hey, are we going to subsidize?
But even if we lost... It's no different than like hometown days. It's if, even if we lost a little bit of money, we make it up somewhere else throughout our fund.
Well, that's not. Now I'm not going to buy into that one at all because I don't like the idea of if we're not going to be profitable, we're just going to take it from somewhere else and bring that in.
Peter,
I want to see if this is going to actually just be break even or profitable. I mean, if this organization was able to make it profitable.
Yeah.
We need to do the same thing.
The answer to your question is yes. We can have a report for you at the end of the
year.
That's what you're asking.
That's what I want to know. I want to see the end of a year. It doesn't have to be the fiscal year, but the end of the actual season.
Yeah, the park board regularly reviews profit loss statements for individual programs. So
that's what I want to see is on this.
I think you'd have a better idea once you see their numbers, too.
Because
you'll be able to pull out the stuff that we're not going to have anymore, add in our stuff.
And we know that first year we've got some expenses in here that hopefully we're not going to have the second year. And let's do it again in the second year, because that should be a better picture in year two and hopefully in year two we get a really good analysis of, you know, how are we doing?
Is this going to be concentrated just at, like, Beecher and Bridge? Are you still going to use, like,
we'll use other fields, but, I mean, we want to, obviously...
fields by, like, Circle?
We probably won't use Circle. I don't envision us using really any high school fields, our school district fields anymore.
We're going to use ones like Cannonball Ridge Field.
Sure, but, I mean, you want to maximize Beecher
the consolidated
as much
fields.
As possible just because you have concession stands there, as well as then it also allows us to... manage the games, the practices, having just two or three locations instead of 20 locations.
So
I mean, those are going to be our main focuses to schedule those as much as possible and then go out from there.
How many fields will that give us between the two? On a, you know, if we just use Beecher and...
Well, there's eight fields there between those two.
Five and three.
Is
that what did they utilize? How many fields?
I think, they also had the Legion.
That's the thing.
Circle
the Legion
Center, they were using the high school fields here, too.
Okay.
Some of that, I don't even know all the fields they were using just because they weren't always using ours.
Yeah.
They were using any.
But we also have the ability, we didn't really allow Bridge out there as much. We can now focus on Bridge. You can now play, instead of one game, you can play two games on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because we have lights out there. That's going to be able to allow us to maximize that park more than anywhere else. We can do weekends out there. We could start at 8 in the morning, go till 10 o'clock at night if you needed to.
Will you run up against the softball leagues and stuff they have out there at the Bridge?
Well, on Thursday, we won't. Thursday's the big day.
Yeah, that's Thursday.
So that's the only day we won't be able to use for this.
So us consolidating our use of fields isn't going to... You're going to be able to still offer enough that the Ivy kid will play.
You know, we'd never turn any kid away for any programs.
You know, I guess I'm thinking of scheduling. If you're going to go from, if they use our eight fields and then they had the high school, you're going to take those away. Are we still going to be able to accommodate
them? Oh, easily. If anything, we'll be able to get games in on a more consistent basis because if, like, you only have Beecher and Bridge and it rains, we're not trying to get 10 fields done. We're only trying to get 8 fields done at 2 locations. It'll be a lot easier for us to handle that than anyone else will because they'll be all over the place. We can do the right 2 places.
But if we do need the other fields, they are available.
They're available, and depending on how rich... I mean, if we get to, 1,000 kids, we're going to have to use in Fox Hill and things of that nature.
So you,
but we still need to accommodate also...
You're not going to consider Fox Hill then?
So it really is going to come down to registration
and
how that goes. But we also still, they'll be used because YWSA still has to have fields for travel ball. Reds need travel ball. Fury needs travel ball. Rebels need travel ball. So we're still going to have to accommodate those groups also.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have first pick of the fields that we want to use for in-house.
Yes. And most of it is they need bigger fields.
Yeah. And they'll use a Legion too. I mean...
Okay. Yeah. So...
All right.
Yeah, if it's going to break even, I'm okay with that.
So are we looking to move this on for next week? Is there any chance we could get more information on their budget? Do we need that for next week?
I think it would be helpful.
It would be nice to see.
Is that a possibility to reach out to them and get
it
some more financial?
It is. I'm going to get it by Thanksgiving, with Thanksgiving being Thursday, Friday. I don't know how much information I'm going to have by tomorrow.
So it won't be in the packet, but whatever we have on Tuesday.
I mean, if it's supplemental, if you hand it to us, hopefully earlier in the day.
Does it need to be the next one, or could it be pushed off?
My only real fear is we've got finalized catalog,
Okay.
I know this is kind of like...
Yes. Question was
yes. Bart says yes, it has to be this one, then I'm okay with that.
Well, if we can get that for... You might want to... Take a look at what they've done, even if it's like fundraising information, stuff like that. Whatever they can.
A list of the different activities that they did, and then their budget. I mean, if we could get those two items, that would be nice.
You make 800 kids happy and not cost us anything. I'm cool with it.
Okay.
True. It's your job.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So, do we want to put this on the regular agenda?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All right.
That was nice.
Let's move on to 8, Admin 2018-97, the bond abatement ordinances, which we have 8 through.
Whatever letter corresponds with 7.
G. 8
through G. Well, it's our usual cadre of bond abatement ordinances. There are 7 this year. There were 8 So we actually paid off the 2004 B bond in the sewer fund this year, so no reason to abate that. This is the third year in a row that we've fully abated the bonds. A little bit of history is provided. If you look at Schedule A going back to fiscal year 2010, you know, of course, the high point was back in fiscal year, I'm sorry, it was levy year 2010, fiscal year 2012. We had the high year where bonds were not abated and $2.2 million was on property tax rolls. Since then, we've significantly reduced those amounts each year. And for the last 3 years, we've been able to fully abate the bonds, which is what we're recommending this year as well.
Okay. Comments or questions on this? Can that go on consent?
Again.
Nine, Admin 2018-98, ordinance for the amended levy and assessment of taxes for fiscal year being May 1st, 2019 and ending April 30th, 2020 in and for special service area number 2004-201 for Fox Hill. Can we do the two together? Eight and nine?
Yeah, Fox Hill, there's no change in levy from last year to this year, so it's at $60. With Sunflower, there's no change in what we communicated last year, so we rolled in a three-year, so this is the second year of the three-year. So it is going up, but that's because we're phasing it in.
Yes.
Any comments or questions on 9 or 10?
None of the projects really have changed since last year. Expenditures have generally been in line with what we expected. We are deficit spending in each fund, so we're kind of financing it for those two subdivisions, but that's okay because it's a small dollar amount.
With Fox Hill, there's that artificial inflation just from the sign with IDOT, which we'll eventually get a new sign out there. We can work with Eric and let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's put those on consent. 11, Admin 2018-100, Special Service Area Abatement Ordinances, A through E, for Raintree, Wendat, Central Grand Reserve, Ranger Village 2, and Autumn Creek, and Crystal Bay Project 1.
There's a whole bunch of reports in your packet. Rob's got a nice memo at the front of each one that talks about the abatement dollar amount and how that reflects the extension. None of them are wildly out of line from the year prior, with the exception being Crystal Bay. Rob's got a nice memo in there. There's a new buyer a couple months ago, so it was lost in translation between the seller and the buyer as to who had to pay the SSA. The buyer admits they need to, so they're delinquent currently on 60 lots. They said that they would go in and pay them. We haven't checked with the county clerk in the past couple days.
No.
Okay. So they're intending to, and then at that point, when they do, we can file an amended abatement ordinance. Correct. An amended one as opposed to holding off on that one?
Yeah, I suppose we could do an amended one.
Up through January or even February. And then the SSA amount would then be ratcheted down to a more normal inflationary amount.
So with that one, instead of just holding it, we would rather go ahead and do this one now instead of waiting until we can confirm? Because we have until, what's our deadline to actually have this thing filed?
Well, technically, it's supposed to be the last Tuesday in December, but historically, the county, Renetta, has allowed us to file, or allowed other entities as well, to file in January or even early February.
Yeah.
Is it more paperwork to do this and then come back and do an amendment? Couldn't we just hold on this one, since we have a little time, just to confirm it? I mean,
we can do it either way.
If it's not pressing. Because, I mean, doing an amendment, it's additional paperwork and documents that have to be filed. Yeah. Could we just hold this one until we can figure out if it is or isn't, whether it's 2 weeks or 4 weeks?
Yes. I mean, the answer is if that's okay with the committee, it can be done that way.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
Just to hold it for a little bit.
Or do you have to file paperwork too?
I really don't have a preference. I mean, it's pretty easy to
do it either way.
Yeah, to do it either way. I mean, it doesn't take much time.
I mean, if we hold it to the end of... So if we approve these, you're going to go ahead and get them in right away.
Correct.
So going to the county, they'll be filed.
So that one, we could hold it to...
Yeah, we could hold it a little bit and see what happens.
A meeting in December.
Right, maybe we can do it then even.
We don't have to hold it till January, but if it goes until the last one in December...
Yeah, we could do it. Yeah,
we'll have one meeting in December.
So hold it to December.
So A through D would then be on next week's City Council agenda, and then we would hold E, which is Autumn Creek and Bristol Bay, because they're packaged together, even though Bristol Bay is only one delinquent, until the 12-11 meeting. I covered it on my calendar.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, 12-11.
Sound good? Everybody's good with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So put A through D, number 11, A through D, on the consent agenda. Okay, number 12, admin 2018-101, janitorial RFP results.
Go ahead, sure.
All right. So, sorry, I really wasn't ready for that one. So we went out to RFP, and on September 11th, we got results. On October 30th, we received four proposals. All of them were neck and neck. We did receive the lowest, the difference between this year and last year is we did add the Van Emmon building as well. However, still the lowest bidder still came in under budget, even adding Van Emmon. However, there is a correction in the calculations here. So the proposed amount for the lowest bidder of EcoClean maintenance actually is going to be, let me get the, I didn't have it pulled up, my apologies. So I will make sure that the contract is updated correctly for you. Will be $35,213. So the difference was for the activity center. I had in there $33, and it's supposed to be $330. So my apologies on that calculation error. But they still ended up being the lowest bidder. And we have vetted them. We've checked all three references that they provided us as requested, and everything has come back great. And they are very willing and ready to start working for us.
Comments or questions on this?
Do we have anything in here for any type of liquidated damages in case they fail to perform or can't perform?
We do not. No, just a termination clause.
Okay. As long as it's strong and we don't have issues like we've had in the past.
Yep.
Issues?
Hmm?
We've had issues?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer's yes on that one, too. Okay.
Missed good enough answer, right?
Sure.
Sometimes I don't clean.
That so, works for me.
Sometimes I send people who aren't background checked.
Ooh.
So this has been not just our current vendor, but even our last vendor had some issues too. So, yeah, you name it, we've had it.
All right. Good enough for me.
I'm okay. So let's put that on consent agenda. 13, admin 2018-102, elected office transition update.
Yeah, we just wanted to give everybody a little update. Jackie had asked for kind of a plan for what we're going to do. Treasurer, that plan is easy. That'll be Rob. Rob's been doing it for, you know, a couple years now anyway. And we've already, at the time that Bill Powell resigned, I think we had given you a minor adjustment at the time. So there's nothing you have to do with the job description or salary adjustment. For the city clerk, that'll be a different story. That'll be a little bit of increase in responsibility, but the majority of the work is being done by the deputy clerk now. So we would amend a job description, come to city council for an actual salary range and title. And then that would just be like another department head type position in the city. So that'll be in the next couple months. And, of course, that is a mayoral appointment. So that's up with the mayoral election, too. So.
And we can focus all of the call complaints that go to the clerk to that position as well, right? Because we know there are a lot of call complaints.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
Because, Rob, you've been getting a lot of them regarding the treasurer issues, right?
Right.
Oh.
Picking up the clerk's office.
I've gotten that look many times. You don't want that look.
The mom look.
Yes, the mom look.
Don't you go picking on that.
Hey, wait, we
it's
might.
A fine-tuned machine in that office.
We might beat 1 hour if she can wrap it up here.
Oh, my God. No, we're over already, I think.
7:05.
Oh, man.
I got 45 seconds on my clock.
Oh, is that clock?
And wait, so, on that note, there's no old business. Is there any additional business?
Well,
I'd actually like to go through the goals now.
Look at the model.
Okay, so where are we? 6:59, meeting adjourned. Hey,